Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
New week and we're rolling right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Monday, June 9, 2025 is the date. Welcome in. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at CDunning929. Connor, how's it going, brother?
It's a beautiful day, Gabe.
It is?
The Red Sox won the series against the Yankees over the weekend. And today, finally, the Roman Empire is coming to Boston. Roman Anthony has been called up. It's a beautiful time to be a Red Sox.
Why did it take so long? They've called up all their other prospects. The number one prospect in baseball, though, it took this long?
The number one prospect in baseball. He had a 496-foot home run last night, and they were like, get that kid to Boston.
Yeah.
They keep saying he wasn't ready. So naturally, in his first game ever, he's going to bat fifth. Because as you know, prospects who aren't ready get inserted as fifth in a major league lineup.
Right. So I think I'm completely clear of it. But this weekend, I talked about that stomach bug that was going around my household.
Uh-huh.
And luckily, we've gotten the kid to avoid it till now. Hopefully, he keeps avoiding it. I had it over the weekend, Connor. It felt like a juice cleanse, though. It was like a cleanse for me. I feel great coming in on Monday.
Yeah. You asked me when you got here, you were like, do I look skinnier? And I was like, you kind of do. You do look like you've lost some weight.
My face, you know, my cheekbones are a little bit more pronounced. Yeah. Hell yeah, gotta love it. But that's what I did this weekend until Sunday. Did you have anything fun over the weekend that you went and did?
I had a very good weekend, yeah. I just had, you know, kind of ran around the city, did different things.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a really good weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I ran around my house from the bathroom to the couch. That's what I did.
Yikes.
And to the bed.
Yikes.
Yeah. But it's fine now. You know, when you get it. Honestly, like, I can deal with, like, the upper respiratory stuff. I can deal with, like, strep throat. You can give me the whooping cough. I'll get through it. You give me that stomach bug, though, I am out of commission. I'm the biggest baby in the world. Don't even talk to me. Don't ask me to do anything. The wife was very frustrated because I was bedridden all weekend. But by Sunday, I was all good. I was ready to go.
It's very true that when men have illnesses, we act like we're dying.
Yeah.
We're dying.
Yes, 100%.
We're wimps.
Yeah, no doubt. While women give birth.
I'm also very happy that there's...
Go through their periods and all that.
Sure. Okay. All right. I'm happy that there's glass between us right now, because I hope I don't catch said bug.
No, you're good. You're good. I think... So, it really set in Friday night, so... I was around you, but I don't think we don't
I'm
come
good.
Into close contact.
Yeah,
I don't even dab you up when I come in.
No, I should be okay. I feel like if I was gonna have it, I would have gotten it by now from you.
I think you're all right.
Yeah,
I think you're safe.
And if I do get it, I'm gonna call you and cuss you out as I'm throwing up.
Yeah, well, I did get in, and I told our fearless leader Brad Carson about it, and he immediately after hearing that stepped like 5 steps.
Yeah, away. He did.
He acted like I was.
He really did.
Yeah. He acted like I was going to pass it to him right there, and he's going to start throwing up. But we have 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. NBA Finals, Game 2. We're tied at 1-1. We have some bad Grizzlies news, and I guess some positive Grizzlies news or some decent Grizzlies news to also discuss about the coaching staff that could come in. But the bad news has to do with Zach Edey, another ankle injury, and he's going to have surgery that will lead him to miss the first part of the season next year. Tell me if you've heard that before, Connor. I think you've heard that before about multiple players. Like last offseason, I believe G.G. Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. missing the offseason, missing the first part of the season was the reason that they were not able to give us what we thought they were going to give us. And Zach Edey, I hope that's not the case, but this is such a damn important summer. Going into year two of your NBA career, after your rookie year, realizing what you did well, working on the things that you didn't do well, it's so important to be able to capitalize on that summer, and Zach Edey's not going to be able to do that, but more on that as we get to the back half of this segment. We have the house settlement being approved for the NCAA. What are the changes? What do those changes mean? We'll talk about that as well as talking about it with David Cobb at 5 o'clock from CBS Sports. We'll also have some Aaron Rodgers contract news. We know that he was planning on going to sign with the Steelers on Friday. He did do that. We have contract details laid out. Also, some other NFL news. We have a notable cornerback from the NFC North that has been released. And another release out of the AFC North that is worth discussing. This one from the Bengals, who need all the help they can on the defensive side of the ball, but they get rid of one of their most productive defensive players. So that's worth discussing. At 6 o'clock, we'll talk some NBA Finals with Trevor Lane. We'll get to the Blitz at 6:30. That is the show for you. But NBA Finals, I guess we'll go ahead and start with 123-107, Game 2. Tied up. Thunder, 17-2 after losses this season. That's the second-best record all time. The other two teams were historical Lakers teams, one in the early 2000s, one in the 70s. And those other two teams that were right around that record after losses, won titles. So that's good if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan and you're looking for the first title in your franchise's history. They're also, in these playoffs, the Thunder, 5-0 after a loss. And what last night's game, and really game one as well, showed me is it's time to, and I think we mostly have gotten there, although there's some people that do the free throw merchant thing, respect Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 34 points, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 block, 4 steals last night. He has the most points through his first two finals games ever with 72 points. Most among any player in NBA history in his first two finals appearances. He became the 12th player also last night, 12th player in NBA history to get to 3,000 points in a season. That's regular season and playoffs. And really, man, like just watching him through these first two games, he's so slithery. He's so good at finding the path of least resistance. That's the way I have sort of put it. You can put it in a different way, but finding that path of least resistance, he's better than anybody in the league at doing that. His stop-start, playing with tempo, his reactionary dribble moves, the foul drawing, of course, that means something. The space creation, as soon as he creates any level of space, he makes sure he gets that shot up. And then also respect his finishing ability. Ja Morant as a guard, Kyrie Irving as a guard, they've gotten a lot of credit for their finishing ability, but SGA, when he gets around the rim and finds any space, I think he's the best guard at finishing around the rim in the league right now as we stand in 2025. Also, what we saw last night and what I think Oklahoma City wished they would have done in game one, their ability to compound leads is so deadly. So deadly. As long as you get, I don't know, semi-normal production from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, Jalen Williams, you are going to be able to compound leads. Because what happens is, ultimately, they force turnovers. They lead the NBA in opponent turnovers, lead the NBA playoffs history in turnover differential, and that leads to fast breaks and runouts. And then, as we saw last night, their reserve group can absolutely eviscerate you. Can kill you. I mean, let's especially at home too. That's what we've seen. Their shooting percentages are very good at home, especially with their reserve group, because reserves play better and shoot better at home. But last night, you had 18 points from Aaron Wiggins. You had 20 points from Alex Caruso. 5 for 8 from 3 for Aaron Wiggins. 4 for 8 for Alex Caruso. But Caruso, Kenrick Williams, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, and Cason Wallace all shoot 35-plus percent from three. That's what they did during the regular season. I also thought one of the biggest moves that made the difference last night for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it shouldn't have been a move in the first place, is Mark Daigneault, who I think's a great coach, brought back the double big lineup. He brought back Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein on the floor at the same time. They won 12 games doing it. He went away from that in game one, but he played them, I think, a combined 8 minutes, and I thought that made all the difference. They were minus 17 in the rebounding battle in game one. They were plus 8 for those counting at home. That's a plus 25 difference in rebounding differential from game one to game two. So there's a lot of reasons the Oklahoma City Thunder won last night, but I thought that was one of the biggest things that Mark Daigneault did to really sort of impose his will on that Pacers team in game two. Obviously, we know all the metrics favor them, but he pre-adjusted, and we talked about it on Friday. I thought it was a stupid pre-adjustment to make when you have been the best team in the NBA all year playing that lineup.
Yeah, I still don't really understand why he's starting Cason Wallace, especially like throughout the game. You're getting 22 minutes from Isaiah Hartenstein. You're getting Alex Caruso for 27. Aaron Wiggins played 21. I just don't understand. If you're wanting to go more small ball, why is Cason Wallace the guy that you're choosing? When it's very clear that either the double big lineup with Isaiah Hartenstein is the best way to go, because Chet Holmgren just looks more comfortable and plays more comfortable with that double big lineup. And then Alex Caruso is the guy that goes in there and wreaks havoc. That is, I think, the path to victory for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, Alex Caruso was great again in game two. Aaron Wiggins was fantastic off the bench. I think one of those two guys needs to be the smaller guard in the lineup if you do want to do that. It's just Cason Wallace, he's just kind of not really there so far in the NBA Finals. I just don't think he's been very good. But they played fantastic. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, when you're watching him play, I just looked it up because I was curious, and when I've been watching SGA, the biggest thing that stands out to me, and it's, in my opinion, what the best players do in the NBA. This isn't a hot take by any means, but they play at their own pace. They take their time. Yep. They control the game. The Oklahoma City Thunder like to run, but when you watch SGA, he's not running. He takes his time. He picks his spots. He's so... he can split a defense in a way that many guards can't do. It reminds me of a lot of Luka. Like, he and Luka play at a similar pace. And I looked it up, and because when you think of the OKC Thunder, you think of them turning ball over, running, more pace of play. Like, that's why the Thunder and the Pacers have been similar, and that's why we were excited about this matchup. But SGA's pace of play throughout the playoffs is almost exactly what Alperen Sengun's pace of play was and Bam Adebayo. Those are the two players that he's next to in pace of play when you look up his average speed. And then it's like Derek White right next to him. Gogo Bitadze is next to him. Wendell Carter. Like, he plays at a pace that a lot of bigs do. He just takes his time, and he's not rushing anything, and he's picking apart. He's surgical when it comes to picking apart defenses. And when you're watching him play, yeah, I understand that he gets to the free throw line a lot, but he gets to the free throw line because he takes his time and he's baiting guys into fouling. And he's also just fantastic defensively. He was amazing on defense. Mm-hmm. In game two, he had 4 steals and 1 block. He has been really, really good for the OKC Thunder on defense. And just watching him in this NBA Finals, watching him in the Western Conference Finals, he's the MVP.
Yeah.
And listen, you and I would have voted for Jokic, but watching him play, you see why he won MVP. He's one of the best guards that we have seen in a very long time. He scores at an efficient rate. He keeps that thing moving for the Thunder, and he gives you plus minutes defensively. You can't ask for more from your superstar player in the playoffs and what SGA has given the Thunder. You can't ask for more.
I thought game two was return to normality for the Oklahoma City Thunder as opposed to game one where
that
they completely
defense,
escaped.
Dude, that second quarter was crazy.
Here's where I have a really tough time with the Pacers really from this point forward. I know they're going to be back on home floor. Some things can happen. But here's the problem I have with this game going more than 6 games, getting to 7 games. When you look at the two stars that run things for their teams, Tyrese Haliburton for the Pacers, SGA for the Oklahoma City Thunder, there's no answer the Pacers can throw at Oklahoma City or at SGA to really hold him down for an extended period of time. And on the other side, on the flip side, I think for Tyrese Haliburton, the numbers that he's put up through 2 games should not give you any confidence. because these are, we're getting a bigger sample size and they're staying the same. And they're staying low. The Oklahoma City Thunder have every answer for Tyrese Haliburton. Through four games this season, this is Tyrese Haliburton versus the Thunder. 10 points per game, 5 assists per game, 2.25 turnovers per game, and he's a combined minus 25. His normal statistics, just so we're comparing, 19 points per game, 9 assists per game, 1.5 turnovers per game. His normal net rating, plus 2.9, plus 3. I understand Tyrese Haliburton's clutch. I understand he's an awesome, very good, one of the best in the league at orchestrating his offense. I understand he's a household name at this point. While all that's true, I came to a realization last night and even in game one when they won the game, this ain't the series for him. It just isn't. It's a bad matchup. It's a brutal matchup. He can't drive because when you put the ball on the ground too many times, it's going the other way. The Thunder are going to take it away. Best turnover differential in the league, even with a guy who doesn't turn over the ball very well. He nearly doubles his turnovers per game when he plays the Thunder from his normal numbers. And he can't get shots off. He just can't. He was 2-for-7 last night with 5 points. He can't create enough space against Dort. He can't create enough space against SGA. He can't create enough space against Cason Wallace. He just can't do it. They're way too good on the perimeter. And with that wonky delivery, it just compounds that issue even more. So that's the biggest issue I have with the Pacers sticking in this series and winning 4 out of 7. Is when you look on one side with SGA, the opponent has no answers for what he provides. And when you look at the Pacers side and Tyrese Haliburton, the Thunder have every answer and have proven it time and time again. So that's even through a 1-1 split in Oklahoma City, even though game one went the way it went, that's my biggest problem with the Indiana Pacers and where they sit going into game three.
I also think that the Thunder had so many adjustments in game two that messed with the defense of the Pacers, because the Pacers did a really good job in game one of at least slowing down what the Thunder do. They weren't giving up a ton of threes to the Thunder in game one, at least open threes. But in game two, the Thunder were able to get so many set shots, like specifically Caitlin Cooper. I'm going to keep talking about her. She is,
need to get her on the show soon.
We're trying. We are actively trying to get her on the show, but she is, in my opinion, the best Pacers person out there right now. And she was putting out on her Twitter a couple of the adjustments that the Oklahoma City Thunder did. One of the biggest things that they were doing in game two is they were giving very, very high picks to SGA. And then what SGA was doing is he was waiting for Caruso to cut from the corner, and it would pull that defender, that help defender that was staying on Chet when he would pick high, and he would just roll off to the side and get wide open threes over and over again. They were getting wide open threes by picking high. And then SGA, talking about the pace of play, waited. Then he attacked as soon as Caruso cut. He'd pull that help defender, and then boom, Chet was wide open. That happened a few times in game two. It was brilliant stuff from the Thunder, brilliant stuff from SGA. And that is what having high IQ players can do. That is one thing that is under discussed. Yes, guys can be dogs. They can be dogs. Oh, that guy's a dog. Well, is he a smart basketball player? Is he a smart basketball player that knows where he's supposed to be on the floor? That is what matters. Being a dog absolutely matters, but in my opinion, being a smart basketball player matters more. Do you know where to move when that guy goes that direction? That opens up so many shots for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They were just phenomenal in game two. And that boa constrictor defense that they had just slowly suffocated the Pacers. And really, in game two, they watched the light leave their eyes.
Yes.
They were like, we are not letting go. We are not going to let go of you, Pacers. We are not going to allow y'all to have this fourth quarter. Now, Tyrese Haliburton had a bit of a fourth quarter. He woke up a little bit.
But it was too late.
It was too late.
And that's and before people come, because I've already seen a couple of texts come through, the 2-for-7 and 5 points, that's all first half. That was first half for Tyrese Haliburton. Not good enough. Just truthfully, not good enough. If you want to keep pace with this Thunder team when they get a lead, because of how they compound leads, you're going to have to be better the entirety of the game.
If the Pacers are down by double digits heading into the fourth and want to win the fourth quarter by 3 points, the Thunder are going to be like, go ahead. We're still going to score 30. Like, it's the Tyrese Haliburton, yes, his magic has been in the fourth quarter, but if you stymie them enough and you don't allow the rest of the team to really pop off in the fourth with Tyrese Halliburton, it's not going to be
enough.
They're
up by 18 at half.
Yeah.
And then they kept the foot down just about the entirety of the second half.
Like, Neesmith was really good
in this
game.
And played the double big lineup a little bit more, made sure the rebounding battle, went their direction.
Yeah.
And I thought in game one, that was one of the big reasons they allowed that the Pacers get back into that thing.
What
Mark Daigneault refused to play that line.
What was really interesting is
that refused to play a big down the stretch.
You're used to the Thunder turning people over and then punishing them for those turnovers. That wasn't really happening in game two as much. They were turning over the Pacers, but they weren't capitalizing on it the same way that we're used to seeing the Thunder do it. I think a lot of the damage that the Thunder did in game two was because of their half-court adjustments. And they figured out how to get open threes against the Pacers, and that's why they were able to win this game by so much. Like, they got 36 threes, and they only made 14 of them, but they got so many open shots against the Pacers, which they weren't really able to do in game one as much.
Yeah. Now, with the broadcast, ESPN listened,
oh
I guess,
God.
Connor. They kind of listened.
Awful.
The finals logo is kind of back. They put the finals logo, I guess, it was basically after the first quarter they did the script writing of the finals, 2025, that type of thing. But in the first quarter, they sort of had the Larry O'Brien trophy out there.
I like the people were saying
weird.
It was the here damn. Here damn. Okay.
It looked
bizarre.
It
still looked like trash.
Also, again, that's not the only reason that we get frustrated. Again, I think they need to take us into the arena like we talked about on Friday, give us player intros, give us the national anthem, pump in more crowd noise as you can. But then also when you just look at the pregame conversation, I sent this to you before the game was even tipped off last night.
Yep.
Shams Charania, while we have the NBA Finals going on, the Pacers have a 1-0 lead. It's game two. He's talking about Miles Turner's contract situation, and he's highlighting the offseason during the NBA Finals. And can we be honest about what Shams was saying about Miles Turner's contract situation with the Pacers? It was not really news. It was just, I guess it's news historically with the Pacers. They will go into the tax. They want to be in the luxury tax. They're willing to pay Miles Turner. But it's not news in the sense that they're in the NBA Finals and they want to keep the NBA Finals team together. And, like, they have to find a way beyond just what's displayed on the court, which, by the way, looks like a damn NASCAR. It looks like a car in NASCAR. I mean, between Michelob Ultra and YouTube TV and Emirates, it's ridiculous how many ads they have on that damn floor any given night.
It's
ESPN.
Awful. It's awful.
But when it comes to the conversation around the game, you have to find a way going forward, because you're going to have the NBA a lot. You're going to have to show us the importance of the game in your broadcasting. Don't talk about the offseason. Don't, especially when it's the NBA Finals or the Conference Finals, whatever it is. Don't talk about all that. Show us what the game means. Show us how we're supposed to take in the moment. Make the moment feel big. And I understand during the regular season, when you have a regular season Wednesday night game or whatever it is, you can talk about the offseason and contract situations and trade deadline and all that. You can do that. But different situations call for different coverage. And the NBA Finals is the definition of a different situation. There is enough to talk about from matchup to matchup, from game to game, when it comes to the NBA Finals, where you don't have to reach outside and preview the offseason. Talk about the games, talk about what we see, make it seem big. And I think ESPN's done a poor job of that in particular.
I agree. It also bothered me that they were talking about Miles Turner's, whether or not he can be traded or his contract situation before an NBA Finals game. That shouldn't be the conversation of, hey, you see this guy behind me who's getting ready for an NBA Finals game? There's a chance he's not on this team next season, even though we all know that he is probably going to be on the Indiana Pacers, because it would be insane to make it to the NBA Finals with a guy like Miles Turner. And they'd be like, oh, no, we're good. Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's ESPN, it's just night and day difference when you're watching stuff on TNT. Like the tennis stuff over the weekend. The production of that on TNT was phenomenal. And then you turn on the NBA Finals game, it feels like a regular season game. You have terrible graphics that look like it came off of a PS2. on the floor because they're upset that, oh, people want a trophy. Here's a trophy. It's like, no. We want the court to look better. We want these things to be part of the court, not a terrible graphic in place of YouTube TV.
More than anything, make the moment seem as big as it is.
Or stop talking about rumors and hot takes all the damn time. Tell us about the game.
They have found a way in the biggest moment of the NBA season to minimize that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You should be maximizing that moment. You should be going over the top. But they're not doing that. And it's just insane to me.
There's no pageantry around it.
It's insane to me the way that they're conducting themselves now that they have this massive contract and the NBA Finals. They're going to have the NBA going forward. They're going to continue to have the NBA Finals. Make it seem bigger. Don't minimize the situation. Maximize the situation. All right, now for the Grizzlies, bad news over the weekend. We got news on Zach Edey. This is what the Grizzlies medical update did say. The Memphis Grizzlies today announced the following medical update for center Zach Edey. During an offseason training session this week, Edey resprained his left ankle. Imaging revealed excessive ligamentous laxity, which will require Edey to undergo surgery to address the laxity and restabilize his ankle. A preliminary timeline will be provided following surgery, but Edey is expected to make a full recovery. They haven't given a full timeline, but it is to be understood that Zach Edey will miss, starting center for the Grizzlies, will miss the first part of next regular season. It's just so unreasonably frustrating year after year to run into the same thing. And I know there's some people that will point to the training staff and the poor job they've done, but I think a lot of these things are out of their control. There is just a lack of luck. Now, some people will say at some point your bad luck has to run out, but for the Grizzlies, I don't think that is the case. But this is such a massive offseason for Zach Edey. You're coming out of your rookie year where you were on the all-rookie first team. There were some things that you did well, but there are also some things you have to work on. You have to work on pick and roll coverage. You have to work on finishing around the rim. You have to work on body positioning. And he's not going to get the runway to do that by the time he returns next year. And we already ran into this with second-year players last season when it came to Vince Williams Jr. and G.G. Jackson. And we saw how those two particular situations figured themselves out. Not well. Guys basically had to be pulled out of the rotation. G.G. Jackson was sent to the hustle, and Vince Williams Jr. got sparing minutes down the stretch of the season and into the playoffs. So this is such an important offseason and such a frustrating reveal by the Memphis Grizzlies. But I again, expect them to make a full recovery. But, when you look at ligamentous laxity or whatever they're calling it, that just means his ligaments are so loose because he's turned his ankle so many times and they have to tighten it up. I don't know if it's that tightrope surgery that we've seen, we've familiarized ourselves with when it comes to football. Tua Tagovailoa had it at Alabama. He's actually avoided a bunch of ankle injuries since he's gotten into the NFL because of that tightrope surgery. Just tighten up all of those ligaments, and hopefully it's a whole lot better going into the future. But it seems something like that is going to take place this offseason with Zach Edey. So we expect a full recovery, and hopefully going forward you see less damage done to his ankle with the surgery he's getting this offseason.
I'm getting real tired of seeing Harry Potter spells medical reports from the Grizzlies.
Ligamentous laxity.
Like, all of a sudden I'm floating. Like, what the hell's going on here? Right. It's just, man, what a bummer. Just a huge bummer. But the hope here is, moving forward, it can help prevent some of these ankle injuries that we saw plague his first season in the NBA. Because I think that Zach Edey showed a lot of flashes, but he never was able to get long, consistent time on the court because he kept having injury. So my hope is that this is one of those, pauses that can increase his time on the court moving forward. But it's a huge bummer, and everybody's right. This was a big offseason for Zach Edey, and him not being able to get work on the court, unfortunately, his development is going to be a little bit behind now, and it's going to be on this coaching staff moving forward to make sure that he can catch up and that he's ready to go and ready to give meaningful minutes to the Grizzlies, because we can't do the, well, he's a rookie thing. And to be quite honest, the Grizzlies can't afford for him to have a sophomore slump. I also do think that this means during this offseason that the Grizzlies may look to add some big depth, because Brandon Clark, unfortunately, is prone to injury in recent seasons. We've seen that Zach Edey has shown that he could be prone to injury, and you're hoping that this can prevent it moving forward. You know, you have Jay Huff there as a little bit of depth. You have Jaren Jackson Jr., but they need some big man depth. So hopefully this offseason they go out there and they can maybe acquire some of that. And
you have to find something.
You got to find something, because I understand that they're going to maybe try to bring back Santi Aldama, but I could also see a possibility of a sign-in trade if they think that that makes more sense for the team. I know that like a guy like Walker Kessler has been floated out there that might be available for the Jazz. I know Isaiah Stewart might be available from the Pistons. There are going
the free
Goga
agent,
Badadze is
the free agent
a guy
market,
that we've liked for a while.
The free agent market when it comes to centers that fit that Zach Edey criteria, not very impressive.
You just need a rebounder who can screen.
Yeah.
You need some depth there.
Yes, and you need someone to start the season there, because we've seen
also yes
we've seen Jaren Jackson Jr. We love him, we really do.
Not a center.
It's not what he does.
No,
it's not what he does.
No, no.
And
no.
The Grizzlies are missing a pretty significant part of their starting lineup when Zach Edey is out, or any type of big that fits that criteria is out. We saw it with Steven Adams a few years back before he ended up with the Rockets.
Right.
So, God, tough news.
Yeah, that's getting that
brutal
notification
news.
Was just like God, like that was. There's no other – it's just a huge bummer.
Does the luck ever turn at this point? You just have to assume it won't.
Man, I don't know.
You just have to work around it. And working around it is not the best thing in the world for this Grizzlies team when it comes to wins and losses.
Did you see that some people were joking that Zach Edey was the latest sacrifice that Indiana made?
Yeah, saw that. I saw that. Also, though, I guess we'll try to turn this positive, even though it's not like they've hired this guy. But the Grizzlies are interviewing some guys for Tomas Isolo's staff right now. And Jared Dudley's name popped up.
I would love that.
I think he's done a good job. Had a 14-year NBA career. He's been on multiple benches so far. Has seen some success on those benches. Bringing Jared Dudley in as sort of a guy who's been in those shoes before, understands what it takes, has been on championship-winning teams, has been on championship-caliber teams. I think that would be a very good addition for the Grizzlies if they're able to make that happen.
Correct.
For sure. But Tomas Isolo, weirdly enough, I've seen some other sort of interviews out there that they've conducted to be sort of at the front of his bench. Seems like he's got some good connections still in the NBA, even though he's been overseas all this time.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah, Jared Dudley would be huge for the Grizzlies.
Yep. All right, now, over the weekend, outside of the NBA, we did have the house settlement approved for college athletics. What are the changes that we will see going forward, and what do those changes mean? I'll break it all down for you next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Well, it took long enough, but the House first NCAA settlement is now approved. Judge Claudia Wilken passed it through on Friday after we got off of the air, and schools can directly pay their athletes for play starting July 1st using revenue sharing. Now, there's a lot of different things that fall under the umbrella of the NCAA versus House settlement. Roster limits going to be a part of it. I don't have every bit of information on every sport in front of me, but I do know the main sports, 120 to 105 from a roster perspective in college football, 13 to 15 scholarships in college basketball, so on and so forth. So with that, you'll have less opportunity for walk-ons, more opportunity for the rich to get richer by creating excess depth at their particular schools with better talent. But the biggest thing, obviously, is the revenue sharing. $20.5 million cap in additional revenue sharing per year to pay players at each school. Estimates, early estimates, of that 20.5 or whatever the school ponies up in their revenue sharing. We know that a place like Memphis cannot pay what a place like Georgia will. Georgia and Alabama will get probably all of that $20.5 million and put it back into their football and basketball players in their athletic department. Memphis can probably only afford half of that, maybe less than half of that. But estimates, early estimates, are that 90% of that revenue sharing money is going to go back into football and men's basketball, which makes sense. They generate more revenue. They get more of that revenue. But let's not forget the impacts that this will potentially have. We know for years, football and basketball have subsidized athletic departments over and over again. A lot of the money that is generated through TV dollars, a lot of the money that's generated on ticket sales, on merchandising, on all of that stuff, goes back into the athletic department and trickles down to Olympic sports. It trickles down to volleyball. It trickles down to baseball. It trickles down to softball. It ends up in the hands of gymnastics, that type of thing. The days of that happening, they're over. And the reduction in funding and resources for Olympic sports, it's going to be insane. It is going to be drastic. And I get that. When you look at the way these things are going to play out, it makes sense on a business level. But from a scholastic, academic, and competition level, it's going to be detrimental to the rest of the athletic department. So that is going to be huge. And I think when you look at the amount of money school to school that will be put into revenue sharing, people will talk about this and say it creates more equity. It's not going to create more equity or equality. From athletic department to athletic department, it's going to make the rich richer and the poor maybe a little bit poorer in the grand scheme of things, just because they have the ability that they can spend some of their revenue on their players does not mean they will have the additional revenue saved up to spend on their players. Georgia, Alabama, schools like that will be able to. Schools like Memphis, schools at the bottom of the Big 12, schools at the bottom of the ACC, they're not going to be able to afford to pony up that type of money. I think the most important thing that the NCAA looked at in this case and why this ultimately got settled and sort of what we're looking at from cases and litigation, there are going to be limits on what types of cases can be brought to court. And this should be the decision that furthers the, you know, getting to the point where we need to get to with worker protection, unionization, CBA conversations that we've had for years. One of the more interesting things that has come out of this House NCAA settlement is there's going to be a new sports commission that oversees the entirety of the sports landscape.
This is going to be fascinating.
And it's for a long time, the NCAA and Charlie Baker and Mark Emmert, they've made decisions. They've decided waivers. They've decided how to punish people if they give impermissible benefits and stuff like that. Now we're moving in a direction where a new commission is going to be created, the College Sports Commission. The target for the College Sports Commission is going to be Brian Seeley. He's an MLB executive. He is supposed to be the head of the College Sports Commission and be the CEO. And with that, all of the decisions on punishment will be handled through the College Sports Commission. Now, it's in the early days, so they don't really have a feel for what they need to do. You need to get the commissioners on board. You need to have a meeting with Brian Seeley and figure out how different things are going to be punished. But the punitive process will be completely different. And with that, I think most of the punishment is going to have to be doled out in the form of, you know, scholarship reductions like we have seen in the past. But a lot of these decisions will be made on the NIL front. Because of revenue sharing and pay for play, NIL and, you know, the impact of collectives is being reduced pretty drastically, Connor. I don't know if you got to see this, but one of the first rules that the College Sports Commission is going to put in place is any NIL money that is paid to a particular player over $600 has to be passed through the College Sports Commission, and they have to approve it before that person ultimately makes the money from that. Now, what does that look like? I'm not sure. They're trying to limit just random money from a collective being given to a recruit. They're trying to limit random money for pay for play from an NIL collective just being given to a player. They want to see name, image, and likeness be used as name, image, and likeness. Now, in theory, I love this, but I have questions about how the enforcement will actually look. Are you going to have a chart that tells you fair market value for certain advertisements and name, image, and likeness deals? It's hard to come up with a perfect example for this, but if you have a recruit out there that's promised an NIL deal, and let's say that number is $200,000, you have to have an excuse for that. So I think schools could come up with an excuse for that. Like, if Memphis paid a recruit $200,000, for an example, and they used Gossett out there. Gossett has Hyundai and Kia and all these different places, good friends with Gossett. They have a bunch of different dealerships. If you said, well, Gossett's paying the bill for $200,000, and you put this in front of the College Sports Commission, would they then be able to say, well, that's not fair market value, that's way over the price, you're not able to pay him $200,000 for a couple of commercials for all of your different dealerships? I wonder how that's all going to play out, but anything from an NIL collective or in the NIL space over $600 is going to have to pass through an approval process with this College Sports Commission, and I think that that's going to cause a big stir, and it could cause, in my opinion, a lot more in the way of litigation, because I do not believe that is protected through the NCAA house settlement, where a lot of other bits of litigation, ways you can go about it through the courts, are.
I understand, you know, you broke down the impact of how it's going to make the rich more rich. How do you see this directly impacting a school like Memphis?
Not in an overly positive way. Memphis, their athletic department operates at a deficit. So when you're talking about revenue being shared, you're taking revenue away from an already difficult situation. So you're operating at a worse deficit because you're putting that money directly back into the pockets of the players, probably with men's basketball and with football,
right?
Ultimately. So like, you just look at the financial implications of what that could potentially look like, and it just does not have a good outlook. Whereas you look at a place like Alabama or Georgia, who are constantly in the green, always in a positive situation when it comes to the revenue they're bringing in versus the expenses they put out, they can afford that. They can afford that at a very high level. So I don't see this impacting Memphis in a positive way. The only way that it could get positive is if Memphis ends up in a better conference, playing better teams, getting a better TV deal, getting better gate sales, getting better merchandise deals. That's the only way it works out in the positive for the University of Memphis. But while they sit here in the AAC, you're in a really, really tough situation. If I'm putting this simply, I do think this is necessary framework. And I do think this is a necessary reboot of the college athletic system. The way we're going right now is very unsustainable, It's not something you can continue to do for years and years and years to come. There's just no boundaries for what certain schools can do. You have different laws around the country, state by state. Just does not make sense. And I think what this has done is creates a really good outline for equity going forward within the Power Four structure. But outside the Power Four structure, I think it's clearly the beginning of the end for the schools and athletic departments that fall outside that structure when it comes to making money and fans and fan bases rallying around their programs. It's necessary, but it does not feed the mouths of everyone in the country equally. And you just sort of have to accept that. And I think we have accepted it for the most part, as unfortunate as it is.
Yeah, so is it more of a necessary evil in your mind, or is it still, in your opinion, kind of a positive, even though it may negatively impact Memphis?
I told you this off air. I think when you view this, you it's in the eye of the beholder. Whatever fandom you have, whatever university you feel beholden to, you could view this starkly different. If you're at Alabama or Georgia, you view this
as a good thing.
A good thing. We're moving in the right direction. We have some guardrails. We feel more confident about the direction and understanding we're going to have going into the future on how we're going to operate these things. If you're at a place like Memphis, if you're at a place below Memphis, you start to realize, well, I have to do everything I can to get into that club or I'm absolutely screwed. I'm going to be a second or third class citizen and my school's fan base is going to, you know, shudder in response to this. I'm not going to be making money off athletics. It's going to be really hard to turn a profit every single year. My TV revenue is going to be in the gutter unless I get to a different conference. The revenue that I can share with these players, it's just not going to be the same. So I think it is how you view this depends on what university you feel you're beholden to. I think it's necessary considering the way things are going right now, but I don't think if you wanted to keep the scholastic academic view of college sports alive, if you want to keep the, you know, view of Division 1A athletics and FCS and D2, if you wanted to keep that, you know, alive, I think that's gone now. I think any semblance of that is completely out of the question with what we've seen with the House settlement. You just cannot, there's schools that cannot keep up.
Is it an oversimplification to say if you're a power school, this is a good thing, and if you're a group school, it's a bad thing?
I think that's a bit of an oversimplification. I think if you're a power school, there's still some schools that will fall even further behind. I mean, if you're at the bottom of the Big 12 or the ACC, you're not getting the same TV revenue as the Big 10 and the SEC. You're not going to be able to pony up and get as many recruits and get as many people on board and share the amount of revenue that they are on top of the NIL that you're already struggling with. Because the truth of the matter is, what they won't tell you, is they will view revenue sharing as a positive thing for everybody and all the players, but the same schools that pony up the most in NIL also generate the most revenue. So I think that's an oversimplification. This is not the end of what we're going to see going forward. There's still going to be more landmark lawsuits. But, again, you had to have some framework, and this is framework. It's the easiest way to put it. And it's still going to be a struggle going forward. There's still a lot of questions to answer. But this is the beginning of it, and we'll continue to talk about it throughout this offseason, going into next year, year after that, until we finally get a full answer, in my opinion, where this has to end with employee-employer relationship, a collective bargaining agreement, and professional sports. That's ultimately what it has to get to for me to feel comfortable with one particular thing sticking, if that makes sense. One particular way of doing things sticking. It has to be employer-employee. It has to be CBA, or you have to get antitrust exemptions. We still have a lot of things that we have to figure out from this point forward, but this is the start. This is the very, very beginning. Now, it's the Summer of 1,000 Engagements over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's the return, and it's bigger than ever. Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Launches the Summer of 1,000 Engagements with a 1,000-carat diamond giveaway. They're giving away 1,000 carats of diamonds. For example, you can spend $999 or more and get free diamond jewelry. You have a 1.2-carat double halo diamond engagement ring for $14.99, and if you buy that, you can get a free diamond tennis bracelet. Or how about a 3.5-carat total weight ring featuring a 3-carat above love star center diamond that delivers unmatched sparkle and performance? That's $39.99. You could get a pair of free diamond stud earrings if you buy that. If you want something one of a kind, design your own dream ring from a sketch. You could get a Pinterest board. It could be a picture. It's easy and completely risk-free with Robert Irwin Jewelers' Meant to Be Guarantee. And the Meant to Be Guarantee is phenomenal. You have 365 days to return your engagement ring if things go wrong. If you break up, she wants a new diamond, you can bring it back. And you get a full refund. You've got options at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds. You can save up to 40% off engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding bands, and wedding sets at the Summer of 1,000 Engagement Sale going on now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Shop early and get a free diamond jewelry with your purchase of $999 or more while supplies last. And if you propose now and pay later, you will have a lot of financing options. 12 months, 0% interest. Or take up to 60 months to pay with a low APR. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any one of their 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Now, let's get some clarity on the house settlement. We need to talk with David Cobb from CBS Sports next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.